The scripture for today is Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. And let us all read together, shall we? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. As you know, that a few weeks ago, we started a sermon series under the title, Blessed Are You. That title comes from Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. And the first part of that long Sermon on the Mount, which actually starts from Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. So it's a three long chapters. But the first part is called Beatitudes. The first part, it starts with blessed are you. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 12 are all different types of blessings Jesus gives to his disciples. And I would encourage people, if you could memorize these verses, again, Matthew chapter 5, from verse 3 to 12. It's a simple and very easy to memorize, like even Zach could do it. Amen? And so I encourage you to do it. And if you have courage and if you memorize it, like Zach, let me know and we'll stand you here in front so you could share it with other people. So today we're going to talk about blessed are you when you're mourning. When you're crying, when you're weeping, the scripture says you are blessed one. Now, that seems very contradicting, right? How can you be blessed? How can you be happy when actually you're crying? How can you be happy and blessed when you're actually mourning and when you're weeping? But when it comes to Christ, when it comes to the scripture, Jesus has a way to bless us. Jesus has a way to guide us and lead us even in the most difficult and most challenging circumstances. Now, when we look at the scripture, there are three types of mourning Bible talks about. Number one, the first one is a sinful mourning. Now, what does it mean? It means that people mourn when they want somebody else's stuff, and when they don't get it, they go in time of depression and in time of mourning. In other words, it's part of jealousy. It's part of a sinful desire within them. And that kind of, it's grieving them. That kind of is bringing mourning in their lives. So that's the first one. The second one is natural mourning. It is the mourning of loss of loved ones, loss of relationship, loss of wealth, loss of health. And we all have experienced that in our lives. And when we lose something dear and near to us, it brings mourning. We grieve and eventually it turns into mourning. And the third one is spiritual mourning. It is the mourning, it is a weeping, it is a sadness of the fact that when somebody realizes his or her own sinful nature, his or her own sinful lifestyle, and when that person goes in the mourning, person goes into repentance, it is a spiritual mourning. For example, you know, the story of prodigal son in the book of Luke, in the Bible. When he realizes the fact that he has been acting selfish toward his father, and he has taken the money and he has wasted all the wealth, he goes into time of mourning. He goes into time of thinking. He goes into time of realizing the fact that how selfish he lived. Or if you remember, the other one is when Peter, when he denied Jesus three times, when Jesus is about to be on the cross. And the scripture says when Peter realized that he has just betrayed his God, he has betrayed his loving friend. And the scripture says he went out and he wept bitterly. Spiritual mourning. But today, I want to concentrate only on the natural mourning, which we all go through. Losing loved ones is a part of our life. You know, Bill Gates, I don't know, this particular saying is attributed to him. I don't know whether it's true or not, but he says, life is difficult, deal with it. Now, Jesus on the other side, He's saying something different. Blessed are you when you face difficulties. Blessed are you when you go through mourning. Blessed are you when you go through many trials. Blessed are you when you go through many temptations. Yes, we need to deal with this life. But the scripture says, our God is with us. This is mourning is grief inside out. When we lose loved ones, we are grieving inside. And when we mourn, it's for people and for us to realize that we are going through a time of challenges in our lives. What does the Bible say about it? In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 3, it says, there is a time to dance and there is a time to mourn. There is time to rejoice and there is a time to weep. In other words, in all of our lives, we are going to face this reality. But once in a while, we have tendencies. Somehow we feel that we are immune to these challenges. Somehow we feel that we are immune to sicknesses. Somehow we feel that we are immune to death in our family. And when that happens, some people take it so wrongly that it really destroys their life in so many ways. But as a Christian, dear people of God, God invites us to bring our mourning to God so that God can take it. In fact, there's a scripture in the Bible which says that God takes all our tears and put it in the bottle because those tears are precious. In John chapter 11, verse 35, it says, Jesus wept. It is the time when Jesus' best friend, Lazarus, he died. And Jesus is coming back to Bethany. And when he realizes Lazarus' two sisters, Martha and Mary, when they are weeping, the scripture says, and Jesus wept. It is the shortest verse in the Bible. But it tells us, dear people of God, that how Jesus weeps with us when we are weeping. Now remember, the story goes a little bit further, and in just a few minutes, Jesus is going to resurrect Lazarus. Lazarus is going to come back. That is the reality for Jesus, but that did not stop Jesus from weeping with his friends. And so every time, dear people of God, when you and I go through that difficult time, when you and I weep, when you and I cry, even in our secluded place where there is nobody around us, Jesus weeps with us. Jesus cries with us because Jesus knows how it feels to lose loved ones. Jesus knows how it feels when we are alone. Jesus knows how it feels when we are lonely. Jesus knows how it feels when we are rejected. Jesus knows how it feels when we are betrayed by people who are supposed to love us, who are supposed to stand by us, who are supposed to take care of us, and they are no more there to be found. Blessed are you when you mourn, because you will be comforted. Our God understands. Some of you have gone through that difficult time. Some of you are right in the middle of it. And some of us might experience in days and years to come. But I want to encourage you, dear people of God, reminding you that God is with you. Jesus is understanding your struggle. How can we be comforted? I just want to give you three simple response. Number one, family and friends should be your companion. Family and friends should be your companion. Now, the reason I'm using the word should, because there are times when family and friends are not our companion. There are times when our immediate family members are not with us right away. For example, you know, I'm from India, my wife is from Russia, and our immediate family members are far from us. Yes, we have so many friends, but there are times when our immediate family and friends are not there. And I want to encourage you, dear people of God, if you're one of those individuals, that you would consider this church as your family. Amen? Amen. You would consider this church as your family and as your friends. We want to be your family and we want to be your friend. We want to extend the hand of relationship and connection and communication to you. And sometimes as we are trying to help one another, sometimes it becomes very difficult. I've heard so many times when somebody is going through this terrible mourning and grief and somebody wants to help that person and say something which this person thinks that is going to be helpful, but actually it's not. It's actually hurting. How many of you experienced that? That somebody wants to help you, but actually, no, in the process they're hurting you. And so I want you to really understand that, you know what, be gracious to them. Because they want to help you, maybe they just don't know how to help you. And sometimes actually what is hurtful to one person actually can be helpful to other person. You know, I got a scripture from Book of Job chapter 2 verse 13. Now, this is a story where Job in the Old Testament, he loses his children, he loses his wealth. He is in a very, very difficult place in his life. And the scripture says, three of his friends, they came to see him. And I want to read what actually happened when they came to see him. Job chapter 2 verse 13. When they first caught sight of Job, they couldn't believe what they saw. They hardly recognized him. They cried out in lament, ripped their robes, and dumped dirt on their heads as a sign of their grief. Then they sat with him on the ground 7 days and nights. They sat there without saying a word. They could see how rotten he felt, how deeply he was suffering. Three of Job's friends, they came from far to actually support him, to say some wise stuff to him. But when they came to him and then when they realized that how Job is feeling, how miserable he is feeling, they could not say a word. And they were sitting there for 7 days and 7 nights without talking to one another. For how long? 7 days and 7 nights without talking, without saying a word. When you feel like not saying a word, please don't say it. Sometimes it is just okay to go and sit with somebody. Maybe for an hour, for 2 hours. These guys, they were hanging out with Joseph for 7 days and 7 nights without saying a word. Because what is our tendency? Our tendency once in a while is to say something wise all the time. We're thinking that if I throw this particular scripture, if I throw a particular saying, somehow their grief will be all taken and they'll be perfectly fine from next day onwards. But how many of us know that that's not reality? Sometimes, like Job's friend, it is okay to go and sit with that person. You know, in India, we have a special group of people. When somebody dies in the family, we have a group of people who knows how to make sad songs. And so this group will come, And they will ask you so many questions like, okay, what was his name? How old was he when he died? What was his educational background? All the different information. And in the group, actually, they will start making songs for the person who has passed on. And this would constantly remind the other remaining family members, and they would mourn. In a other ways, effective way of mourning for a long time, so that that heart will eventually find joy and peace and happiness and hope in days to come. You know, in the Western world, we don't have that luxury, right? When somebody passes on, we just come and say hello and maybe sit there for some time, say something and go off. And that person keeps on grieving. That person keeps on mourning for a long time. And so, dear people of God, if you know somebody in your family who is grieving, maybe your presence would make a big difference. The second one, how God wants us to be comforted. The second one, church will be your support. Church will be your support. As a church, Good Samaritan Church, we are so committed to support people in their difficult times. Amen? And that is exactly the reason today we are meeting as a care team at 10:30 in the chapel, so that we would gather enough people within our group so that these individuals would be committed to visit one another, would be committed to visit when people are going through death in the family, would be visiting people when people, they will be visited when they are going through hospital visitation or going through different challenges in their life. Because as a Good Samaritan Church, which stands, we want to be a Good Samaritan. We want to be good neighbor. We want to be good family member. We want to be good member. We want to be good friends for all of you. But one of the ways we could actually do this job effectively is when, on the other side, when you're open to share your struggle with us. Sometimes we want to keep it so close and so tight that nobody would know about it. And when nobody visits us, we feel bad about why nobody came to visit us, because, well, they did not know about you. And so, dear people of God, I want to encourage you to be open. You don't have to go and tell to everyone, but you can come and share with me or share with some of other immediate church members with whom you're close to, so that as a church, we can pray for you. As a church, we can support you. As a church, we can stand with you. And if you feel like it is your calling to visit somebody, please join us at 10:30 today in the chapel. Even though if you feel like it's not my calling, but I just want to find out what are they talking about, please join us. Because we want to be a caring church. Amen. We want to be church who supports one another in difficult times. We want to rejoice with you when you're in joyful situation, but we also want to support you when you go through difficult time. And the third one, God will comfort you. First, your friends and family should support you. Second one, your church will be there with you. And the third one, your God will comfort you. 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Cast all your worries. Cast all your mourning. Cast all your sadness upon Jesus, for he cares for you. You know, in Psalm 23, the writer writes that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I know, God, that you are with me. What does it mean, dear people of God? That as a Christians, we will all go through difficult times like everyone else. We are not immune to tragedies. We're not immune to sicknesses. We're not immune to deaths in our family. We will all experience that. But the scripture tells us that when we go through that difficult time, God is going to walk with us. God will stay with us. God will hold our hand. And God will help us to pass through that difficult time. But the glorious hope for all of us as a child of God, we know that when we will go when we'll pass on. We will go and stay with God for eternity. Book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse, and I want to read just a few verses from there. I heard a voice thunder from the throne. Look, look, God has moved into the neighborhood, making his home with man and woman. They are his people. He is their God. He will wipe every tears from their eyes. Death is gone for good. Tears gone. Crying gone. Pain gone. All the first order of the things have gone. When we will be in the presence of God, we will be rejoicing with our God. God will take all our sicknesses, all our pain, all our tears, all our suffering. I hope and I pray that you find your hope and your strength in your God. Let us pray. Loving God, we come before you once again in your presence. As we celebrate Father's Day, we remind ourselves that you are our loving Father. You care for us. You bless us with good gifts. You bless us with wonderful church family. And Lord, when we go through difficult times, you go with us. You hold our hands. You weep with us. You cry with us. And you understand our sadness and our pain, our suffering and our loneliness. But what a glorious hope we have in you, that one day we will be with you for eternity. One day we will rejoice with you. You will take away all of our sadness. And you will give joy to us. Not the joy which comes and goes. Not the happiness which comes and goes. But the ones which stays with us for eternity. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.